At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, says, begin with the end in mind. Of course, we plan for families. We plan vacations. We plan for retirement. Many of us have planned what we're going to do and what we want to accomplish in 2023. But how many of us plan for our own demise, our own death? Joining me on the program to talk about this tough topic is Pastor Ron Hicks of Henderson Memorial Baptist Church. Ron, welcome to the program, brother.
Thank you, Richard. And listeners, this might be a little different program because I, as you have learned to rely on Richard and his organization to give us the latest, greatest tips on what's taking place in the political arena, social issues from a biblical perspective and that sort of thing. But today, Richard is kind of approaching this as somebody who is learning as he goes. He's not necessarily the subject matter expert on this particular thing. As y'all all know, and he's already said this, his father is in his final stages of cancer. And so Richard is the caregiver for his dad. He's literally doing this program from his father's home. Been caring for him for several weeks now, and he sees his father's decline. And we were just talking as friends before we ever started to record this, and Richard's in uncharted territory. And as we started talking about this, we just started sharing as two friends. And
I'm going to just cut in and say, let's be honest, Ron. We started to record, and I started to get too personal and everything before. And I'm saying that half jokingly, because we ended up going down a trail that we didn't know if it would be that helpful for listeners. But the intent of this program is to face an issue that every single one of us is going to face at some point. Either we have walked with a loved one in the dying process as we let go of them, or all of us are going to face death ourselves. And Ron, so why in the heck don't we talk about this more, death and dying?
I think a lot of people will say, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of how I'm going to die, but I'm not afraid of dying. I hear that quite frequently. I hear quite frequently people say, I just don't want to think about it. It's going to happen. I realize it's going to happen. I just don't want to think about it.
Now, Ron, as a pastor, you have literally done hundreds of funerals. You've pastored for well over 20 years, 20 years at your current church, a few years at your previous church. Why do people not want to think about death? Or is Stephen Covey, look, he says, begin with the end in mind. That's something that highly effective people do. You don't just stumble along in life. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm not sure what I'm going to do today. I'll just stumble into it. Same with our lives. We are given a life to steward. God has blessed us with this gift of life, and we want to steward it. And the Christian perspective is, we want to walk with God, and we want to glorify God with our lives. So at first, off the bat, as Christians, we address life differently. We also address death differently, don't we? Or we should.
Absolutely. And I see this playing out in your situation right now. You know, you and I talked before, when you first entered into this world, you couldn't hold your head up. You couldn't say a word. You couldn't speak. You couldn't care for yourself, feed for yourself, or whatever. And your dad was the man who taught you how to be a man. Yeah. And so now you're watching him drift off, and you're realizing, hey, there's this role reversal here. I have to be the man here. And you're the man you are today because of the man that you're ministering to. And it's because all those biblical principles came into play. You're not only father and son, but you're brothers in Christ. And so you're able to, you're able to minister to him now in the way that he ministered to you when you first came into this life.
Ron, I'm going to put some flesh on the bones of what you're saying there, because a very personal story. And I think this is worth the listeners sharing this with them. But just caring for my dad the other day, he wanted to pay us back. He's like, we've been going to the store and we've been making meals and this and that. And I said, Dad, look, you cared for me my whole life, man. This is just one small token of how I can show my care and love for you. And at that moment, and here's why I'm sharing that, it just sunk in, man, that I'm the parent. I'm also the one who is acknowledging my gratefulness to him for what he did for me in those first 18 years living under his roof. And you cannot relate to that until you really care for a parent in that kind of way. And Ron, let me take a step back. The reason why we're doing this program, and as you said, we're kind of diverting from the public policy topics that we talk about, social issues, politics, that kind of thing, because this is an issue that we'll all approach one way or another. But it's also an issue. I'm going to get a little political angle in here. Government ain't going to tell us how to walk with somebody when they're dying. The government can't even tell us the right way to live or what we're living for. I wrote about these things, by the way, in Kentucky Today in an article that came out recently. But this is how, as Christians, we know that we're given a guidebook for life. We know where we come from. We have a creator who makes us in his image. We know what our purpose is, right? We're made to walk with God. We're made to be about his kingdom work. And someday we're going to, all of us, stand before our creator to give an account. And for those who are not in Christ, it's not going to be good. It'll be terrible.
Yeah. And in a few examples in the scriptures, Jesus rebuked people for not caring for their parents in a manner that honored their mother and father. And so, you know, we've stressed this idea, this is a journey that everybody's taking. Now, you, your bride, your brothers and sisters, to everybody's ability, is all pitching in and helping minister to your dad. Some people just don't have the time, the resources, or whatever, and so they've got to use nursing homes and other facilities like that. We don't want anybody to feel bad about what they can and they cannot do, because every situation is different. But however you're walking through this walk, the scriptures tell us we need to honor our mother and our father. And that means as long as they are our mother and father. So as long as your dad's got a breath in your life, you're called by scriptures to honor him. I know when my mom passed from cancer, and I hate to be so graphic, but that one of the last things that I did for her was to pick her up and put her on a potty chair right beside her bed. And I thought to myself, if there's anybody on this planet that's going to do that for my mother, it's going to be me.
Man, that's humbling, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, it was, I'm getting Holy Ghost bumps talking about this, ministering to my mom and dad in their last days and preaching both of their funerals is the greatest honor God has ever given me in my entire life. It's the greatest honor, because when I saw their caskets being wheeled out, my sons reached over and got the handles of their caskets. My family carried my parents to their final resting place. And I know with all of my being, I honored them to the best of my ability, according to scripture. God gave me a peace. And you know, how many times as a pastor have I said to people, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When I preach my parents' funeral, I learned that phrase in a way I never understood it before. And so I couldn't have gone through that and grown in my relationship with the Lord had I not had to say goodbye to my parents.
Ron, to that point, let me jump in and interrupt if I could. I have a dear brother who shared with me, when I shared with him my dad's latest, where he was and just wasn't given much time to live, he said, Richard, this is a grace of God that you can do this and spend time with him and walk with him through this process. Because in his case, both his parents went fairly quickly. He couldn't have those conversations. He wasn't prepared to walk through that process with them and let go. It just happened abruptly in both cases. And, you know, it's very difficult to see a loved one decline in their health. But there's a grace there.
Yes. And you bring up a great, great point talking about it with them. Listen, your dad knows he's dying. And you and I have talked about this already, and you guys are having those kind of conversations. For the listener out there who might have a loved one going through this, mom or dad, brother or sister, even spouse, they know when the doctors have said there's nothing else we can do, they know that their time on this planet is short. Don't mince around. Just ask them. I asked my mom. I said, Mom, how does it feel to know that you're not going to be here much longer? We talked about everything she wanted in the funeral. She had actually asked me, she said, I want you to do my funeral. With tears, I told her, I can't. There's no way I can. Until the Holy Spirit just prompted me and said, how better to honor your mom than be the one who eulogizes her? And so in that process, talk about it. I mean, just because you'll be able to have conversations that are deeper than any conversations you've ever had with your parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm finding myself in that same situation where we've had some very deep conversations that I would have never imagined having before. It's very, you know, the dying process is very intimate. It is very personal. Oh, yeah. And for me, by the way, it's a little therapeutic just to talk with you about it. It's to work through this. And again, the hope isn't to just do therapy over the radio, but it's perhaps to bless some others who are going through this or who've gone through it, and then to offer hope, man, to offer Christian hope. I could not address this or go through this if there wasn't the hope of Christ, if I didn't know that he was going to a better place to be with his creator. If I couldn't handle it, if I didn't have Christ, just facing my own mortality, thinking that all this life is all that there is, there's no meaning, there's no purpose, there's nothing in the future. How discouraging, how awful of a thought. That does not help you cope with death and with dying, does it?
No, Richard, do you know your third great-grandfather's name?
I don't. I do. I take it back. I know some of them. I know a couple of them. Yes, I do.
Most people don't know their second great-grandfather's name. So the reality is, once we're gone from this, even our own families, many of them, unless they do a genealogy research and all the rest of that, and they'll find our names, but many people won't even recall our name. But if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not only will it never be blotted out, but it's recorded for all eternity. And so whether anybody here remembers us or not, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you talked about also death being so personal. It's an intimate, it's a private thing, which means there's no right or wrong way to do it. I'm a pastor. I've been at the bedside of many, many people, families, all present, who have asked me to be there. But when my mom died, I didn't want anybody else there. I didn't want her pastor to be there. I didn't want her friends to be there. I wanted it just to be me, my wife, my sister, the ones of us who are taking care of us. And there's no right or wrong way to do that. So I'll walk up to a family and say, look, if I'm invading on your privacy, if you don't need me here, tell me that. No offense. I'll step back. I'll hang out here in the hallway if you need me. But so there's no right or wrong way to do it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, Ron, Christian hope. We approach life differently, and we face death differently. You mentioned that for those who have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, they can look forward to hope. They can look forward to spending the eternity with God, with Jesus, and that's good news. So, Ron, actually, we're up on a break. Let me do this. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. So just hang with me, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. Richard Nelson here with Ron Hicks, and we are talking about life and death and Christian hope as we walk through the dying process with a loved one. Ron, this is clearly a heavy topic, a topic that most of us would rather avoid talking about. And our intention here is to share our stories. You've walked with through parents who've died and gone through the dying process with them. I'm currently with my dad who's going through that process. And we want to be a blessing to the listeners. We want to offer them hope. What is the greatest hope that somebody can offer to a loved one?
If I could use a story to be able to illustrate it, my father was recovering from open heart surgery, and we had to go to his hospital room to tell him his bride of 50 something years had passed away. We literally had to sneak him out of the hospital against his doctor's wishes to allow him to attend his wife's funeral. He's holding a pillow to his chest because he still has wires holding his chest together. But my mom had insisted she wanted her funeral to be a worship service. And so there was standing and singing hymns and all the rest of that. Our family's favorite hymn is Victory in Jesus, right? I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional thinking about this. As we're singing the final stanza of Victory in Jesus, my mom's body is laid in the casket. My father has his arms raised in worship at his bride's funeral. That's the hope that blood-bought born-again believers have. That's the hope that even when the person you love on this planet is taken from you, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I saw my father's hands raised in worship, in that moment, he showed me what a godly man looks like more than he had every other time in his and my relationship.
Ron, I want to press into that because I know the story of you and your parents. I know about your upbringing, and that meant a lot to you because I know, and I don't think you'll mind me sharing this, that your home was not the ideal Christian home that you grew up in.
No.
You shared with stories, don't need to go into all of them, but there was brokenness there, just as all of us have. We all, look, on this side of eternity, there ain't no perfect home. And there's different kinds of brokenness and different levels of brokenness that we will all address. But what you shared there means a lot to me to hear that, because I know what you went through. I know something about you, and someday I'm going to tell stories on you, brother, some of the stuff that you did. But to see at the end of life, your family come together, your father worshiping like that, something happened there where I know God had a softening in his heart. He had some kind of transformation at some point later in life. But it's precious. So here's the point. In this dying process, don't miss opportunities to allow God to work.
It's all part of God's plan. And listener, here's another thing. Please don't let anybody hijack your grief, your suffering, to try to convince you that there's a God who doesn't care. Because a lot of people will do that. They'll say, you know, they said to me, well, Brother Ron, you're a pastor. You've given your life to ministry, and God's going to allow your mom to have cancer? My mom contracting cancer brought healing to my family in a way that nothing else could have. She actually said to all of us, I'm glad I got cancer because God used that to bring healing to our family. And so when somebody else says to me, well, how can the loving God care if he allowed your mom to get cancer? My first thought is, you have no right to step into my situation, hijack my pain and suffering of losing my mother, and try to convince me that the power and the presence of God was greater in that journey than almost any other time of my life. And I tell people, you're stepping in territory that you don't belong in.
Ron, so to follow that point, this is the Christian story where Jesus Christ on Calvary didn't deflect pain and suffering. He accomplished his purposes through pain and suffering. He had to die that death, that horrible death on the cross, to show how terrible the consequences of sin are. He took the sin debt of all mankind, of all those who would come to him, took it on his shoulders and died a horrible death to carry our sin, to make a way for us Because we know Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. Well, he died that death that we deserved so that we might have a life in him, so that we might spend eternity with him. That's the good news. He worked not despite the evil and the suffering. He worked through it. And that's, I think, what you saw with your mother in dying, her suffering. God used that for good. And I think of a verse that is sometimes taken out of context and sometimes misapplied, but it's Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So we know that God does work, even terrible things, and we can't explain, and it doesn't, sometimes it does not alleviate the pain that we are feeling at the moment. But ultimately, in the big scheme of things, God does work through that, doesn't he?
Hey, listen, Richard, my mom and dad are the ones responsible for me having been exposed to the gospel. It's my mom and dad carrying me to church and making me go to youth camps and making me to go to youth group and praying around the table and you know, going to the Christmas Eve services and reading the Christmas story from the Bible on Christmas morning and those things. They were the human beings that made it possible for me to understand that there was a loving God. Yet God used them to show me that even they are going to have to die. That's the consequences of sin. Yet though we die, we can yet live. And so when they drew their last breath on this planet, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and they died within 7 months of each other. When they both drew their last breath on this earth, there was no doubt in my mind they were still breathing, but they were breathing the fresh air of eternity in the presence of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My father, I actually had a dream. If I could tell this real quick, I had a dream. My father, very formal military officer, retired from the military. I had a dream that I was in heaven. I didn't dream that I died, but I dreamed I was in heaven. And so my father was the one who met me, and my family calls me Ronnie. And he said, Ronnie, come here. I want to introduce you to somebody. So we're walking past and we see Moses and all these folks. And I just recognize who they are. I don't know how. I guess all the pictures of them, right? So, but I recognize this Moses, and he's taking me straight to meet Jesus. And my father, again, being the formal guy, he said, Jesus, this is my, Ronnie, this is Jesus. Jesus, and before he was able to say anything, Jesus stopped him. And he said, Claude, I know who Ronnie is. And in that moment, I understood, I'm going to take that journey one day, but I'm going to be reunited with my dad, but I'm going to want to get to Jesus as quickly as possible. And that's nothing that I have to be afraid of. Nothing I have to be afraid of.
Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And of course, that's the context of him taking on our sin burden, on us trying to work our way to God. He will take that from us, and he gives us rest. And the same is true, I would say. There's an extended principle where those who are walking with a loved one through the dying process, he will take our burden as well. He will carry our burden as we're, I'm on a journey right now. I'm learning. I'm trying to figure things out. I'm dealing with emotions, and just in all transparency, brother, I can be a good stuffer. I can stuff my emotions and keep them down there. And that ain't working too well right now. They're coming out, and I'm dealing with certain things. One of the things I've learned, though, is to be very transparent with my dad, to try to, of course, I'm sensitive to his needs and his trying to manage his comfort, but also it's given me an opportunity to be transparent. We've had some really precious conversations about various things, and as tough as this is, it's been good. It's been good, and it's been healing, and it's quite a journey, and as you know. And again, our if you're just joining us, by the way, Richard Nelson here with Ron Hicks, and we're talking about death and dying and Christian hope. And I think that's where we need to end these last couple of minutes, Ron. I want us to talk about Christian hope, because we don't think about our lives often until we're at the end of our lives. Look, the church attendance is decreasing. The largest religious category in this nation that's growing are the nuns, those who have no religious affiliation. People aren't looking to the church. They're not looking to the Bible But Ron, what would you say to them? Why should they believe the Bible? Why should they seek what God's word says about their life and about their death? And there's a lot of people questioning the reliability of the Bible. Well, that's just an old book. I mean, that's what you and I rely on, right? You and I, that is our foundation. That is our source. That is where we go to understand what our life is about. But I'm just thinking of the person who might be traveling down the road right now, tuned in, and they're wondering, man, those guys, this is interesting, but man, they're Christians, and that's such an old, dusty book. That ain't got nothing to tell me. What would you say?
The Bible is unique over any other religious writing, quote-unquote scriptural writing. It's unique over any other religious book because it doesn't meet the criteria that every other religious book does. Every other religious book was written by one person in their lifetime from their perspective. The Bible was written by over 40 different people in three different languages on three different continents over a 1,500-year period, and there is no contradiction from front to back. When people were writing the New Testament, I don't think that they knew this letter is going to be included in a book that later on they're going to call the Bible. And so they're living it and they're writing about it. These guys walked with him. Luke interviewed eyewitnesses. The disciples saw him die. And he says, none of them were standing at the tomb on the third day saying 3, 2, 1. But when they heard he came back to life, everything clicked. If somebody can predict their own death and the way they're going to die and when they're going to come back to life and do it, I'm just going to believe everything else that they said. And when you test that and you weigh that against life, you realize these things aren't just made up stories. These are true things that are available to me, just like you, just like they were 2,000 years ago.
One takeaway here, Jesus Christ is the one who overcame death. He took on our sins so that we could be made right with God when we repent and confess. And the scripture says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's a promise. But yeah. I'm willing to follow the guy who did that for me. I'm willing to follow the guy who rose from the grave. And that's good news. And this is why we can face death differently. Because of what Christ has done for us. We know that, you know, I'm thinking of in 1 Corinthians, where, O grave, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Christ is the one who tasted that for us, and he removed that sting, and he removed the fear of the grave.